Well, it's good to be with you to open the inspired and errant Word of God. And as we read the Word of God and hear God's voice today, we're in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. Those are the verses we'll be looking at, living in a sin-stained world and truth made visible when Christ shines on you. Truth made visible when Christ shines on you. And we've been considering light and darkness recently as we've gone through Ephesians. And as we all know, the absence of light can be very dangerous. Like a dense fog, if you're driving in the fog, you know. And even more dangerous, the super fog, that's like fog on steroids, okay? It's when particulate matter in the atmosphere, such as wildfire smoke, which we've had, lands on top of dense fog. And it can be like near zero visibility. You cannot see. And it causes those pile up on the interstates in different states. December 2024, there was a dense, ghostly super fog that hit and turned the bridge over Lake Pontchartrain in Louisiana into a massive, chaotic crash scene, 40-car pileup. Now, this last Thursday night, I was driving home from visiting my father in the hospital in Temecula. It was a stormy night. If anyone remembers Thursday night, it was a very stormy night. And it was the kind of rain where it was literally like, felt like it was coming right through my skull, you know. It was hitting the top of my truck, but it was just like going all the way through. And there was very low visibility, and I'm not the greatest night driver anyway. And it was hard to see. It was hard to see. But I had the headlights. I had the lights, and not just my lights, but lights of other cars as well. And it lit up the road, and it just helped me, even though it was tough going, it helped me navigate home. That's all I wanted to do, was just, you know, get home. Well, spiritually speaking, the darker this world gets, the brighter the light of Christ shines. Like, the darker it gets, the brighter Christ's light shines. And it should be impactful, it should be evident. Even like, you know, headlights. My dad said to me recently, it doesn't matter how old you get, your dad might still ask you these kind of questions. Hey, have you buffed out the headlights on your truck? And I drive an older truck, I love it. And I'm like, I'm going to get to that, you know. So maybe let's just say that maybe the light is a little bit obscured while I'm driving, you know, in the rain. But the darker this world gets, the brighter the light of Christ shines. And the more impactful and the more evident it should be. It should be able to be seen very clearly. You're reaching the lost and building up those who have been transformed by the gospel. But sometimes, kind of like those, maybe those headlights we don't buff out, kind of like that, there's this tension. Sometimes we hide or obscure or confuse the light of the gospel truth. It can happen. Can happen with the best of us. A thick, maybe super fog of selfish sin can set in, and it looks different. It looks different with everybody. I don't know what it is for you, but maybe it's a lack of contentment in your current life stage. Or maybe it's the regrets you have over lost opportunities. Maybe it's your fear of what may or may not happen in the future. Or maybe you just have these unmet expectations and you're always, you know, disappointed. You might obscure the light. You could have a shallow relationship with the Lord that spills over into shallow interactions with other people. You could believe popular lies on social media sites or podcasts that claim they're biblical, but they're not. Maybe it's gossip inside or outside the church or coveting. You know, these kind of things, they obscure the light of the gospel. Coveting or loneliness even, or you're wallowing in your grief or lust or selfishness, and or maybe it's just all about performance Christianity. I've got to do this, that, and the other. You dive into everything, you get so overcommitted, you don't know which end is up. Or maybe you just get all burned out, you think you're a martyr, everyone's not doing as much as me. Or maybe it's the other end of the spectrum. Maybe you obscure the gospel because of lethargy. Maybe you're like a sloth. Or maybe you just don't want to forgive anybody. Maybe you have a low view of God. Maybe you don't have a high view of his holiness and his sovereignty. And what I can tell you is this, is that it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been following Jesus or how short you've been following Jesus. Young and old alike fall prey to this struggle. And the truth is hidden or obscured or confused. And we are supposed to be, believers are supposed to be Christ's representatives to the world. We're to be his ambassadors in this world. And so the idea behind these verses we're going to look at today as we continue on in Ephesians is you must be exposed by and transformed by the truth if you want to please Christ, if you want to honor God, if you want to do the right thing in life as a believer. And at the same time, too often we just want to like escape the world, right? I want to get away from the world. I want to go into my own little Christian enclave and just kind of hang out with believers. And so many Christians are isolated from the world. They're so far away from the world that they can't shine the light. On the other side, there's so many Christians that so deeply embrace the world that they're not even, you can't tell them apart from the world, and they're so integrated into it. But God wants the believer not to isolate or to fully integrate, but to redemptively interact with the dark world with the light of the gospel. That's everybody's job description as a Christian. You bring the light of the gospel to those who need it, wherever God has you. That you live the Christian life in the world and not in some sort of Christian, you know, enclave, by the way, which is a false view of Christianity. It's like the monastic view of Christianity. It robs the gospel of the display of its greatest victories, like changed lives that are displayed before a watching world, where you live in the same world where you lived before, but you live your new life. The Christ in us, our hope of glory, enables us to live the Christian life in a dark world. In the middle of a dark world, with all the problems you have and with all the challenges you have and with all the trials you have. Reminds me of the man in the Gospels, the man who lived in the land of the Gadarenes. And he had a whole legion of evil living in him. And Jesus healed him. Jesus transformed him. And Jesus was about to leave. Jesus was about to go. And the guy's like, I'm going with you, Jesus. I want to go with you. Can you imagine? You're like, you just got healed by Jesus. You just got freed by Jesus. I'm going where Jesus is going. And Jesus says, no, you're not going with me. You go back home. You go back home to your hometown, to the place that you were marginalized, to the place you had so much pain. You go back and you tell them what great things God has done for you. You go back to the same place. You go to the scene of the crime. You go back where you have suffered so much and you live the Christian life there. Be a witness there. And he goes back with the power of God in him. Evil wasn't indwelling him anymore. The power of God in him. And by the way, that's us. That's us. You don't leave the world, but in the same place you live like a pagan, you live like a Christian. And it shines the gospel light, unobscured. And Ephesians is telling us how to do it. Ephesians is spelling it out verse by verse how to do it. I don't think there's anything more important for you and I to think about than this today. Because we're going out. After this, we're going out. We're going out into the world that needs the gospel, and Ephesians is telling us how. In Ephesians, when you read this beautiful letter, it's telling us about the glorious grace of God in Christ. It's telling us about the mystery of the gospel being revealed. It's telling us about the purposes of God, the eternal purposes of God to save a people for himself, save those who are living in the world. But it is a world that is increasingly pagan and antichrist and godless. In the first century, believers did life and business and politics in in every place they were before, but as new creatures, as new believers, no longer godless. And they had to figure out how to interact. They had to figure out, what does it mean to be a Christian living in this world? They needed to figure out how to relate to the world as new creatures in Christ. That's you and me. That's us. That's where we live. That's where the rubber meets the road in the Christian life. How are you going to live this? And verse 7 told us, don't be partakers with them. You know, don't go do evil with people doing evil. You once were darkness, now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. You're made new. Verse 11 told us, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, literally reprove them, literally correct them. It starts with you just, we saw it last week, starts with you just walking in a room, indwelt by Christ, led by the Spirit of God, bringing the Word of God, carrying the Word, not getting angry at everyone, not being unloving, not being unkind. No, showing what it looks like to be saved from your sins by Jesus. And Psalm 1 tells us, don't walk with the ungodly. Don't stand with sinners. Don't sit in the scoffer's seat. You need to relate with those who are doing evil, but not do the evil with them. Like, you show up, sin should stop. Like, don't engage in sin thinking you can reach someone for Christ. Like, a young gal sees a guy and says, hey, I know he's an unbeliever, but I'm going to date him because I think I can lead him to Christ. Well, it turns out you've never been an evangelist before, but the guy's good looking and you want to be an evangelist now. Or you go, hey, you know what? I want to engage in business and have all this money to give to Christ's work. But then you start cutting corners and you start cooking the books and you start cheating on your taxes and you start doing things. You can't sin so that grace might increase. What do? You confess your sins to God and one another. You show unbelievers the sin that keeps them from Christ. You just lovingly and carefully engage in a rescue mission. And then we get to these verses. These next verses that come through, explaining God's powerful working. God's powerful working as the Spirit uses the Word of God to change us. What it's going to teach us, first, in verses 12 and 13, that truth exposes. Truth exposes. And so that sin can be seen accurately, that you must allow yourself to be exposed by truth. And it will also teach us, secondly, verse 14, that truth transforms. Truth transforms so that the sinners are saved permanently and saints are sanctified. That you must be transformed by truth. You must be exposed by the truth. You must be transformed by truth. That's what these verses are teaching us. The first thing is that truth exposes. Look at verse 12. And this is so that sin is seen accurately. Verse 12, for it is disgraceful. It is disgraceful, shameful, improper, sordid to speak of the things which are done by them in secret, hidden, concealed. Proverbs tells us that a fool flaunts his folly. But not these heinous crimes. And there's no log of the unnamed practices. It's shameful to mention them or to do them. It's interesting that when Nero became emperor, shameful things were brought out into the open. They were doing them in the streets. It was no longer secret. And yet, at the very same time, there were some first century practices that were too vile for public notice, even by Nero's standards. Even pagan Romans couldn't stomach. They were suspicious of certain dark, secretive rites that were performed at night. And it couldn't even pass, you know, Nero's substandard standards. Sins so sinister, they had to be sealed off from view, sealed off from sight, eliminated from direct contact with the general population, unmentioned, undiscussed. Like unspoken. unless it was necessary for a believer to confront them or to correct them. But to think of them, to speak of them, could just corrode and corrupt your heart and mind. Good news, verse 13 tells us, all things become visible, seen, you know, clear, like manifest, known, revealed, exposed. All things become visible when they are exposed or reproved or corrected by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. Literally, light makes everything visible. To turn on the lights, it shows what's in the room. When anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. It comes into clear view. And here, it's the idea of exposing the deeds of darkness, verse 11, by the children of light, verse 8. And what it does is it brings the true nature of things into clear view. Not obscured, you can see it. We've been dealing with this light and darkness metaphor for a while here in Ephesians 5, and it's the idea of this. The church is equipped as the embassy of the new creation to light the world with the gospel. This is what the church is supposed to do. And the darkness gets counteracted by persistent proclamation of the pure and perfect word of God. And it exposes, purifying light of God's word exposes all hidden sinful secrets. In Proverbs, in chapter 6, in verse 23, we read these words, the commandment is a lamp. Kind of like the psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and light to my path. The commandment is a lamp and the teaching is a light. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life. You're being corrected by the Lord as you go along. You're being corrected by the word. You're being exposed by the word. This is the Christian life. You're going along every day and you want to live a life of repentance. You want to live a life that pleases God. You need to be exposed by the truth. Light exposes. 2 Timothy 3 says, all scripture is, by the way, from the mouth of God and profitable for everything necessary, because light exposes what is hidden and reveals and shows things as they are. And yet what happens is, and young and old alike can do it, okay, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how long you've been following Christ, how briefly you've been following Christ. It really almost doesn't matter. Young and old alike can hide and obscure and confuse the light of the gospel so it doesn't get through. And some people do it knowingly. They do it like intentionally. And some do it unaware. Some do it like blind to their own ignorance, maybe. How do we do it? You know, there's, again, you can name so many ways. We obscure the gospel and we have this unkind, ungracious demeanor about us. We're always sour. We're always upset. Alexander White, who's a Scottish preacher in the late 19th, early 20th century, wrote of Christians who lived as if sanctification was by vinegar. That so many are harsh or sour or critical. Or maybe it's not that. Maybe you just become like a fake, shallow religious shell that, and you're just drenched in self-obsession. Like if you got the transcript from all your conversations in the last week, how many me and I would there be in it? Okay, and you just become, or you become that shiny, happy people and you're just concerned with your comfort all the time. What's it going to be for me? I'm determined to be fulfilled. Or maybe you obscure the truth by just boiling down the gospel to, here, do these three things, check, 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 and now you're a believer. And it doesn't really matter how you live. You got the fire insurance. You got the get out of hell free card. You know, you're good. We need to surrender to the Lordship of Christ. He is enthroned in heaven. He is over all. He is establishing his new covenant community. But what happens? We obscure the gospel because we let worldly values just dominate our whole field of vision. Like everything we see is worldly and light can be obscured. to be obscured by, you know, behind the veil of hours scarfing the ungodly media and maybe 1 minute rushing through the verse of the day. You're not going to get exposed by that. We're guilty of even maybe justifying certain acceptable sins. Pride, the anger, the greed, the slothfulness, the materialism, the vanity, the impatience, the gluttony, the lack of self-control. And what happens is it just slowly builds up and clogs the pipes and compromises your life. And you find yourself saying, hey, I'm a believer, but there's no light shining, and you're doing things contrary to your conscience. You're trying to please everyone but God. But we hide the truth. We manipulate the words. We redefine the context. We change the meaning of biblical words to make them mean what we want them to mean. And we give those excuses. We justify ourselves. Everyone, all the Christians I know are doing that. It's normal now. We give the slanted view. Or we take that posture of superiority. I'm better than them. Why would I be giving the light to them? They're losers. They got to get their act together. They've done, you know, just like me, and they had it coming to them. Or maybe you just start to do illegal things or immoral things or unethical things, and they're not truthful, they're hurtful. And I don't know about you, but tax time reveals the heart. There's so many other examples we could use about how we might hide the light, but I will just tell you this. You don't want to be known as the maverick of finding out new and improved ways to sin and hide the light. You don't want to be known as that kind of a maverick. Because you try to hide and you can't, because Hebrews 4:12 tells us the sharper word reveals the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And Hebrews 4:13 says that all things, no creature is hidden from God's sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Like, we're exposed in God's presence. How embarrassing. How humiliating. How convicting. And you must allow yourself to be exposed by the truth. Then you'll be on the road to transformation. In Luke 12, Jesus said this: nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Whatever you said in the dark shall be heard in the light. What you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. Yikes! Ouch! Scary! And we hide. And we keep doing it. We hide due to shame. We have the fear of the consequences. We have the guilt. We have the even the arrogance. I can hide. I'm smarter. I can outsmart. But you know, even the kids know this. Hey, the cookies always leave the crumbs. The cookies always leave the crumbs. And every action leaves evidence. And how many times someone comes up to you and says, by the way, just between you and me. Just between you and me. Confidential. And soon enough, everyone knows. Because you got your list of just between you and me people. And it just goes. It goes. Everything is revealed by the light. The word of God exposes the idols of our hearts. Unless you try to block it, resist it, obscure it, work against it. And when you do that, just ever so subtly, ever so slightly, next thing you know, you're resisting the Holy Spirit and you grieve the Spirit of God. Everything exposed by light becomes visible. Christian is light in the world. Jesus living in you. You bring the word. You're led by the Spirit of God. Lights up every room. But if you want to stay healthy, if you want to stay healthy as a Christian, if you actually want to be on the road to pleasing God, you got to allow yourself to be exposed by truth. It's going to lead you to repentance. First word of the gospel. You turn from sin to Christ. Richard Owen Roberts, he said, the most popular subject of all time is sin. Most frequently spoken and regularly practiced by the overwhelming majority of people. Surprise, surprise, right? But light of the world banishes the darkness. Like Isaiah 9:2, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. In the land of deep darkness, on them light shone. It's like Psalm 19 tells us, the word of God enlightens our eyes. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 18, the prayer to God, open my eyes that I would see wonderful things in your word, O Lord. And what? Only the good things that you think you should see? How about the good thing of exposing your sin so that you would repent? How about the idea of your need for forgiveness? Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your word, all the wonderful gospel things that God does. And sin being exposed and becoming visible. And you got to ask the question, is there something in my life right now that is not right? Is there something in your life right now that is not right? Like, what needs to change about how you operate? What needs to change about how you think and speak and act that you would align with the truth that exposes you, not push it away? And we all know we struggle. Every one of us knows we struggle with this. We have to be, the believer has to allow themselves to be exposed, even as the Lord graciously reveals. And then you confess and repent of any sinful darkness in you. You do that, or else God will use more drastic means. You see it over and over again in Scripture. He will use more drastic means. The truth exposes. It's so that sin will be seen accurately, and you must be exposed by truth in order to honor Christ. And it really leads us to the second point very nicely. Truth transforms. Like sinners are saved powerfully and permanently, and saints are sanctified by the truth. Verse 14. You know, we've seen that light reveals what is hidden, but it also heals and comforts and purifies and changes. It transforms. Truth transforms. Verse 14, for this reason it says. Now you're coming to a quote from an Old Testament passage. You might want to turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 60. This is where it's coming from. Okay, Isaiah 16. While you're turning there, let me just say, this verse is telling of transformation. For this reason it says, Paul says, for this reason it says, he's quoting Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Okay, chapter 60, verse 1. Now, verse 14 says, awake, okay, arise, stand. When you wake up, one of the things you inadvertently do pretty soon is you stand up. You get out of bed, okay? Awake, sleeper, arise, stand up, wake up, sleeper, and arise, get up from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. He'll rise on you. Literally like the sun coming up in the morning. I love the sunrise. I love the sunset. And the thing about the sunrise I love is the piercing rays of the sun as it comes over the hills of East Orange. I love seeing the rays of the sun. And here, Christ is being pictured as the rays of the sun coming up in the morning. And it tells of transformation from children of darkness to children of light. And it quotes Isaiah 60, verse 1. Look at your Bibles. It says, arise, Isaiah 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That's equal to Christ shining on you. Christ, the glory of God. And it speaks of God regenerating and converting the sinner's soul. Some thought it to be a part of an early church Easter or baptism hymn to remind believers and to invite unbelievers, to remind the saved of their conversion and to invite the unsaved to salvation. It says Christ will shine upon you. The Messiah is being pictured like a ray of rising sun. And this is the picture the people of God had. That God's glory over Israel gave life-giving power. Stay in Isaiah 60 and keep reading with me. Isaiah 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Verse 2, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. The superfog over the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They are gathered together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Verse 5, then you shall see and be radiant. You'll be light. You shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult. Literally, your heart will tremble with reverence for God and expand to welcome the Lord into your life. You'll see and be radiant. Your heart will thrill and exult. Christ will shine on you. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until the full day. The path of the righteous, like the light of dawn, like daybreak, shining brighter and brighter until the full day. But the way of the wicked, the darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. You know, when you stumble and you stub your toe in the dark and you're walking, you don't know what you hit. The way of the wicked is darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. But the sleeper rising up and Christ shining on them is a picture of salvation. It is a picture of the gospel. It's like a gospel in a capsule. Just quick. Therefore, wake, arise, Christ will shine on you. It's like Luke 1:78-79. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Just another way of saying Jesus is going to save you. Or 2 Corinthians 4:6, again, using different figures of speech and similar ones as well. God who said light shall shine out of darkness, Genesis 1, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Seen in the face of Christ, Christ will shine on you. This is where you get saved. This is where you believe. This is where you trust in the Lord and not your own works. This is where you are saved from sin by the power of God, where you repent of your sins, you turn from your sins, you turn to Christ, you believe that Jesus died in your place for your sins on the cross, shedding his blood as your substitute, the sovereign Savior, and you surrender to him. That's what this is talking about. It's not talking about mere moral improvement. It is not talking about behavioral modification. This is talking about transformation through the gospel as the power of the age to come that is unleashed in new creation light, the gospel of the grace of God in Christ. So awake, arise, Christ will shine on you. Just like it parallels other biblical invitations. Like Isaiah 55. In Isaiah 55, it says in verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Jesus forgives. There is only forgiveness in him. Or James 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. And there's so many ways that we are called to repent and believe in Christ. And it exposes our sinful deeds. But it's not, by the way, for the believer. To share the gospel with an unbeliever is not to have some self-righteous glory over the world and somehow say, you know, I'm better than you. No, to challenge them to come to the light through faith in Christ. It's a compassionate thing. It's a merciful thing. It's a loving thing. But the Spirit will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. I think of Philip's meet up with the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. And I love that story. And it ends with the Ethiopians. God saw fit to save someone from Africa. And we get this picture. And it ends with the Ethiopians' conversion and baptism, but also rejoicing. Also rejoicing that the gospel of the grace of God in Christ brought this man into a restored relationship with God and filled his heart with joy. Joy. As Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say it, rejoice. Remember the joy that you have in Christ, that God opens spiritual eyes and turns from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to himself. And what are we? What are we? We're lampposts pointing out that light. We're reflected light. I guess you'd put it more like we're a visible planet. We're reflected light. We're like a visible planet. And the saints are light. We illumine the dark works of non-believing family and friends and neighbors in hope that they would rise from ignorant, dark hearts to the light of Christ. And how does it happen? We convince them, we convict them by evidence of a changed life. We convict and convince them by speaking the gospel, but showing the change that God made in your soul. You got to say it. You got to show it. Show them, of course, what is keeping them from Christ, but show them Christ. Show them Christ. But what happens so often? So many Christians act as if they're miserable, as if they're unhappy, as if it's boring to follow Jesus. You have to hide it. You don't want to tell anybody. You don't want to admit it. And so many get the impression that Christians, they lead miserable lives. John Milton put it this way, that many Christians act as if they just scorn delights and live laborious days. It's all just pain and misery and drudgery. What people need to see is the joy of the Lord in you in the midst of your deepest anguish and pain. What people need to see is the joy of salvation even as you go through the toughest times. How you shine the light of the gospel. And that's really in line with verse 13. Flash the light of the gospel and things are exposed. You're not supposed to cut yourself off from people who need Christ. You're not supposed to be a self-righteous Pharisee. You're not supposed to, you know, act as if you're so disgusted with the unbeliever or act as if you're so superior. Like, how can you rest knowing that those in darkness are destined for hell? Like, have you no love in your heart? Like, we should be sick of our own sins, of course, but many times I think we act like we're sick of other people and the sin of other people. And look down on other people. Why can't they get their act together? Why are they such a loser? And we do that because we misunderstand the gospel and we forget our cleansing. God is so much more merciful and gracious than that. God's never like that. God never does that. What we're supposed to do is give a glimpse of new life. Exposed by the light, transformed by the light, And you got to continue to have conversations with unbelievers. Have to have social contact. They should see a difference. They should see a difference. Not your own, you know, locked compound. But the heart set apart is just, it's so attractive. It's so loving. It's so contagious. Tell them what great things God has done for you. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. You are to implore people on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God, because he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christ will shine on them. Like in the light of the world, they're going to see themselves and their sin as they've never seen themselves and their sin before. And hopefully they'll desire to be cleansed and Christ will forgive them and save them and transform them, because then they will be transformed by the truth. So you have to let your heart be affected by the gospel first. The first word of the gospel is repent. You keep turning from sin to Christ. And then you take the light of the gospel to the world, to your friends, to your neighbors, to your family. And yes, you reveal what people would rather not deal with. You have to be able to reveal what people would rather not deal with. Light exposes those in darkness, and Jesus, the sinless Son, the light of the world, true light, shines and makes new. And you then get a testimony of transformation. This is what God does. There's people that say, I've had people say this to me many times as a pastor, I don't think I'm serving the Lord enough. And inadvertently, what I have found is that the person who says, I don't think I'm serving the Lord enough, is the person that is usually serving the Lord with a full heart, with a whole heart, with just diving in with everything they've got, and they still don't think they're serving the Lord enough. I have a friend who needs a new liver, Ed Romero. We prayed for him earlier. He's in the hospital. And I see this a lot when I go see people in the hospital. People, believers in the hospital, are usually blessing to other people. And Ed is no different, but he kind of ramps it up. He's thanking everyone. He's saying, God bless you to everyone. His grandkids are not following Christ. And he says to his grandkids, he told me this the other day, he told his grandkids, he says, look, go get a Bible, and I want you to read me the Bible. And I want you to read me Matthew. I want you to read me the red letters in Matthew's gospel. I want you to read me Jesus' words. So what's happening? They're hearing the word of God as they read it to their grandpa, who loves the God of the word. Praise God. And he prays that they would love Jesus too. And he knows the word is powerful. And he knows the word changed his life. And he gives a testimony, just like we give testimony to how God changed our life. He will say, he's told me this before, and I've said, me too. He goes, I'm not a good man. I did things in my younger days. But he knows his life has been changed. He knows Christ's forgiveness. And when you know Christ's forgiveness, your heart is melted. Your heart is merciful. And he says, I don't leave out what I used to be like before I knew Christ. Right? When I give my testimony, I don't leave out what I used to be like. And it reminded me of Psalm 32. The Psalm 32 is literally the blessedness of being forgiven by Yahweh. And Psalm 32 starts like this: blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Like God has dealt with their sin. And this psalm, you should read it later. This psalm is portraying the agony of unconfessed sin and how he just felt like he was wasting away because God opposes the proud. But then he acknowledged his sin to God. He didn't cover his sin. There's iniquity. And it says, you forgave my sin. And there's freedom in that. And then he was assured of God's protection, that he's now my hiding place. He preserves me from trouble. He surrounds me with deliverance. And then he was assured of God's guidance. He says, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye upon you. This is by the Spirit-given word of God. And it's like God saying, okay, humble, repentant believer. You were fruitless, but we're going to get you fruitful now. Okay, humble, repentant believer. You were doing evil deeds, but now let's go. Let's go and do some good. You've been exposed by the light of the word. You've been transformed by my redeeming grace. Let's go get you fruitful. Now I can use you. You're adopted child of God to reflect his light in a darkened world. And those are the takeaways. This is easy takeaways here. Very simple, very clear. You know, we must be exposed by the truth and transformed by the truth if we're going to honor Christ. Like, allow the truth to expose you. Like, exposure to the light. You're walking in the light, and the blood of Jesus just continually cleanses you, and you confess your sins, and you repent of your sins. That's Christian breathing. That's Christian breathing. And when the lights go on, everything gets lit up. Nothing's hidden, including you and I, and we should welcome it. We should welcome it like daylight after dark. And you must allow the truth to transform you and others. Don't hide the truth from others. And don't hide yourself from the truth, because those who are transformed by the truth, who are brought into the family of God, they're transformed by the truth on an ongoing basis. You're being sanctified. You're transformed by the light. You got a testimony that's true and contagious. And only God knows how it works, but it's his truth through your personality. It's his truth through your personality, how he designed you. Because when Christ shines on you, you're made new. You're transformed. You're renewed. If anyone is in Christ, right, they're a new creature. The old has passed away. New has come. So you have to be continually exposed by the truth. You got to be continually transformed by the truth if you want to please Christ. Let's go back real quick to that pouring rain the other night. I was driving slowly. I actually texted a friend and said, I'm driving through pouring rain. He says, stop texting and drive slowly, okay? Well, here's what I was doing. Seriously, I'm not a good night driver, and my eyes get kind of, blinded by the light and what have you. I was just driving slowly. That's all I was doing. Driving slow, trying to get home. I'm a simple guy. I just want my truck to make it to the driveway. And I was just holding on, just trying to keep my eyes focused. I'm just steering the truck home. That's all I was doing. I just wanted to get home. That's how we're to live as Christians. Carefully, cautiously, comforted by the idea of home. To be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'll tell you, without the light, we're lost, okay? We're so lost with no light in the darkness, right? Without the light, we're lost. But sometimes, I'll tell you, when I can't see very well and the light does what it's made to do, the light does its job, like the headlights of the car going home, even my little fogged up headlights, it's still working, okay? Here's what I saw. It wasn't just my headlights. I saw a sign. I saw a sign on the side of the road. It was pretty obvious. You know what it said? Severe weather. Use caution. That's it right there. That's our life. Severe weather, use caution, right? Truth made visible. Light made visible. Driving in the dark of night, spiritually speaking, holding on for dear life and being unafraid and cautious and courageous as you just walk through this sin-sick, sin-soaked world and just try to figure out what pleases Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you that we can actually figure out what pleases you because you say it so clearly in your word. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us your light, that you shine the light on our hearts, the light of the gospel, the light of the truth. It's not some, confusing idea of light, but it's piercing light. It's the truth of your word as your spirit uses it on our hearts, in our hearts, to change us and to remake us and to form us into the people you want us to be. Lord, have your way with our hearts. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.